the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
So after getting married is when I first started experiencing the headaches, and they were quite severe. And I didn't understand them because I had never had anything like that before in my life. Right when I was diagnosed, my husband and I were actively trying for a family, which is heartbreaking for us both. And then I was diagnosed this past New Year's. We went away to the wine country for kind of a New Year's Eve celebration. And by January 1, the following day, I was diagnosed with cancer and told I was terminally ill.
That's the voice of Brittany Maynard. This was the young woman, 29 years old, diagnosed, as she said, with terminal brain cancer, who had decided rather publicly that she was going to die with dignity, in her words, die on her own terms and die the way she wanted to. And she is being hailed after her death this weekend by her own hand as something of a hero of going out the way that she wanted to. She had her bucket list. She went through all of it. She checked off the last thing on her bucket list. And at 29 years old, she took her own life rather than face what she believed to be the intense suffering of a death from terminal brain cancer. Was that the only choice that Brittany Maynard had? If you read the papers today, you would think that's the only choice she had. It was intense suffering, unmitigated suffering that she could not control, or death on her own terms that she could. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon. It's the 3rd of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Wesley Smith will join us here for the first few minutes to talk about the suicide of Brittany Maynard. A little bit later, some listener email. We'll go through your email and answer as much of it as we possibly can, as we like to do from time to time here on Issues Etc. Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Abraham and Isaac, the famous story of God testing Abraham, and Abraham almost sacrificing Isaac at God's command. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, you can always use the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the suicide of Brittany Maynard, Wesley Smith. He's a regular guest, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of a column for National Review Online titled Human Exceptionalism, and author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Wesley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Was this the only choice that Brittany Maynard had, this intense suffering? And was this the only way she had to deal with the suffering from terminal brain cancer at the end of her life?
Didn't you get the message you're not allowed to ask that question? That's not a question you're supposed to ask. That's not a question you're supposed to think about. In fact, Todd, you're not supposed to think at all. You're supposed to feel, including with that soundtrack under Brittany Maynard talking. This has been the most astonishing level of media manipulation, with the media willingly acting as propagandists, I've ever seen. There have been more than 700 assisted suicides in Oregon. None of them, not one, not even the first one, which you'd think would be pretty big news, received this kind of attention. At least one cover story in People magazine, CNN, People, CBS, ABC, NPR, PBS, on and on. This was run as a media exercise by Compassion and Choices, which used to be called the Hemlock Society. Compassion and Choices, most of its budget comes from the subversive George Soros. This has been done with, of course, it was done with Maynard's cooperation. But this was intended to bludgeon us through raw emotion to keep from even thinking about the question you asked. Because if she had death with dignity by committing suicide, then those who decide to live until they die are chumps, aren't they? And they don't die with dignity. It is a... there's one other thing that gets too little attention. I've been a hospice volunteer, and I've been involved with these issues since 93. Good grief, that's over 20 years. And I have talked to many people who were dying. For example, one of my hospice patients died of ALS. And while I was with him, happened to be the time when the U.S. Supreme Court was deciding whether assisted suicide should be a constitutional right. And ABC, I think it was, or no, maybe it was 60 Minutes, I forgot which, they put a big thing on about an ALS patient who wanted assisted suicide. And it was the same kind of my choice to die, the same kind of emotionalism you saw in the Brittany Maynard story. And ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, is usually the disease that the euthanasia people run up the pole like a bloody flag. And my friend, who was dying of ALS, was so upset. He said to me, they are trying to push me off the well-lit boulevard into the dark alleys. He said to me, they are saying that my life is not worth protecting. And that's true. That is the message being stated. The message being stated is that if, let's say, a mother loses her children and wants to die, well, that's suicide and we should have suicide prevention. But then if you say, oh, but she had cancer, oh, well, never mind, let us give you the pills. It's an insidious lack of equality. It's an insidious abandonment. And by the way, the mother whose children died can be killed in places like the Netherlands, which shows you where this whole assisted suicide euthanasia agenda leads. Once a society generally accepts killing as an acceptable answer to human suffering, because that is what we're talking about, you end up with the Netherlands, the suicide clinics of Switzerland, Belgium, where elderly couples are now euthanized so they don't have to be widowed from each other, where in Belgium they have coupled euthanasia with organ harvesting. This is the road we are on, and that is the very kind of thing that all of the emotionalism around the Brittany Maynard tragedy is supposed to keep us from thinking about.
You have called it hucksterism. Why so?
I was quoting somebody else talking about hucksterism in the sense of not her, not Brittany Maynard. You know, I don't judge anybody who's in the situation she was in, but the people around her. They are trying to, as I said, use the power of a sledgehammer in terms of emotionalism to keep us from engaging in rationalism. And in that sense, the idea that she had no choice but to suffer or choose death with dignity is exactly what that should be called, hucksterism. Ira Byock, who's a very, very prominent palliative care hospice doctor who I know is a friend of mine who's been working these issues for many years, he was brought on, I think it was the Diane Rehm show, which is an NPR show, and they had such a setup that they had ahead of time Brittany Maynard saying, how dare he speak to my condition when he's not my doctor? Do you see the conundrum? So when Dr. Byock says, listen, I've treated people with brain cancer. I've made sure, and hospice professionals make sure all the time, that they don't go through intractable suffering. There are methods that can be done, including for somebody like Brittany Maynard. Then Brittany Maynard came running in saying, how dare you talk about me, when she's the one who, with the offices of Compassion and Choices, decided to make it public. But as I said at the beginning of the show, there's only one side allowed to actually have a discussion. There's only one position that you're allowed to take. Otherwise, you're cruel, uncompassionate, and you don't care about Brittany Maynard.
This was not a legal test case because she relocated to a state
But that's an important point. Mm-hmm. When Oregon, excuse me for interrupting you, But when Oregon in 1994 was debating whether to pass the initiative that led to legalized assisted suicide, some of us opponents said, wait a second, you legalize it in Oregon and people can move there to be made dead. And the proponents of assisted suicide said, oh, no, 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 that could never happen. Well, that's exactly what happened in this case, only nobody cares. That's how the slippery slope works. You say this A will lead to B. The people who want A to lead to Z say it'll never lead to B. Then when you're at B, the society shrugs and says, oh, who cares? Because they've accepted the premise.
Not being so much a legal case, it was a kind of media test case. It was very well orchestrated. It was very well produced. It was just about the slickest thing I'd seen.
It was brilliantly produced, and that's the exact word.
What were they testing? What were the Compassionate Choices folks and the complicit media testing with Brittany Maynard's last days?
Well, they weren't testing because they knew, you know, Compassion Choices, which used to be more honestly named, it used to be called the Hemlock Society. They are very sophisticated in their media engagement and in their polling. They spend a lot of money on polling, on focus groups. They try to figure out the right words to use to make people accept the hemlock, so that instead of, you know, Brittany Maynard committed suicide. She took an overdose of pills or poison, barbiturates, to end her life. That's suicide. But Compassion and Choices says, no, that's not suicide, that's aid in dying. And you'll have different poll results depending on the words you use. So these are very sophisticated people. They have the huge budgets. They are aiming at a more elite audience. I mean, this is an elite cause, if you will. It's the cause of the ruling elite, the media elite. You don't see people marching in the streets like you saw for civil rights, demanding the right to be made dead. You see a lot of word manipulation. And what they were, they didn't have to test. What they were doing was implementing what they already knew. That you look, and this is what the assisted suicide euthanasia advocates do. They look for a good emotional case. And, of course, a 29-year-old beautiful woman struck down in her prime with brain cancer just when she gets married, when she wants to have a family, that you don't get more emotional than that. And then you take that and you use it as a bludgeon to keep anyone from gainsaying what the driving message is. Now, for the media, if it bleeds, it leads. And the media are very addicted now because they're looking for hits on the Internet. The media isn't what it used to be. It's not as much about news as it is about gaining attention. And you'll even have some newsrooms where they'll have a TV screen with the stories listed and the number of people who have linked to the stories. So in a sense, they become link hucksters, meaning we're looking to get people to link to us rather than to necessarily even have a good quality story. And so this adds perfectly. I mean, you cannot get more, this is not a castigation of Brittany Maynard, but more Oprah than this kind of situation. I think if Oprah were still on television, there's no question that Brittany Maynard would have been on the Oprah Winfrey Show. It is the zeitgeist of our time, high on emotion, high on sympathy and empathy and the awe factor, and very low on any kind of thought about what this would mean for the greater society, how this would change us as a people if we accepted this premise. What would it do to our mindset? What about the concept of cutting medical costs? What is less expensive than assisted suicide? It costs $1,000 for an assisted suicide. It might cost $100,000 for people to get the kind of care that they require that will make them so they don't want to commit assisted suicide. But that will never get discussed. And it doesn't resonate, Todd, which I think tells us something about our culture. Do I have time to tell you a true story?
Sure.
From my hospice days? My very first hospice patient, and I've told this story in speeches and so forth, was a fellow named Ernie. Ernie was an elderly Italian gentleman, had terrible, terrible congestive heart failure. He was in hospice, expected to die very shortly. And I was a volunteer, and he was my first patient. I was very nervous. I went to meet him. And as soon as I was introduced to him, I sat next to him on the bed, and he fell in my arms, and he, after his family stepped out of the room, "I want to die, I want to die, I want to die." And I said, "Why do you want to die, Ernie?" He said, "I'm a burden, I'm a burden, I'm a burden." Poor Ernie felt so wrong to have to be cared for. That's what we've done in our society. We've made our elderly people, our ill people, feel like they're burdens if they need care, if they become dependent. And I said, "Ernie, you're not a burden. My goodness, your son has moved in with you. Your daughter-in-law loves you, et cetera, et cetera." Well, I went to see Ernie for about 2 or 3 months, once a week, and people would come to his door with cookies. I mean, it really hit me that love is like a savings account. When you put it out love, it comes back to you. And Ernie must have been a very loving man, because the concern and care for him was really profound and very touching and very moving to me. And there was one fellow who was always there. Let's call him Joe. I don't know what his name was. I don't remember anymore. And when Joe would come over to visit with Ernie, I would step out of the room. But Joe had this big booming voice, and I'd hear him say, "Ernie, you got to fight, Ernie, you got to fight, you got to fight." And then I lost Ernie. He didn't die. He got kicked out of hospice. He got better. And at the last day I was with him, he played a mandolin solo for me. And I want people to reflect that when Ernie fell in my arms and said, "I want to die, I want to die, I want to die," if assisted suicide had been available, he would have taken the pills, and he would have died, and he would never have known that if he'd waited 3 or 4 months, that for whatever reason, whether it was God or whether it was, his body had a strong, he rebounded to the point where he was no longer dying, and he had more life to live. And you tell people that, and they look at you with a blank stare, and they say, "Well, what's the point? He didn't kill himself." But he could have, and I'm telling you, he would have, but people don't care. Todd, it's like they can't hear. All they get is death. We are in the grips of a death culture. We are in the grips of this kind of drive to say that when there's a problem, when it's difficult, the best way out is suicide. That's death with dignity. That's doing it your way. That's taking control. It's a very dangerous thing, and meanwhile, people who have a different perspective, they don't even matter anymore.
Wesley Smith is our guest. He'll be with us for about another 10 minutes on the other side of this break, live this Monday afternoon. It's the 3rd of November. We're talking about the suicide of Brittany Maynard. Wesley, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism and author of several books, including Forced Exit Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. We'll be right back.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
First Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. First is a Lennox and GeoComfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Ernst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Ernst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
I don't wake up every day and look at it. It's in a safe spot, and I know that it's there when I need it. I plan to be surrounded by my immediate family, which is my husband and my mother and my stepfather and my best friend, who's also a physician, and probably not much more people. And I will die upstairs in my bedroom that I share with my husband, with my mother and my husband by my side, and pass peacefully with some music that I like in the background.
That again is Brittany Maynard. She took her life this weekend after, well, a huge media campaign highlighting her terminal illness with brain cancer and her plan to take her own life, as she did this weekend, and speaking before her death about, her plans, how she wanted it to be. And, of course, the media is telling us over and over again today she got exactly what she wanted. Wesley Smith is our guest on this Monday afternoon, November the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Wesley, you've also written recently about this subject, the redefinition of bravery at the end of life. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I wrote, that was an article I wrote, thank you for remembering that, at First Things, I think it was a week ago, and it was before Brittany Maynard's death. And I'm old enough to remember Michael Landon. Michael Landon, for your younger listeners, was a very popular television actor. He was Little Joe on Bonanza. He was an angel in Heaven Can Wait. He was Pa on Little House on the Prairie. He was a very robust, very handsome, very dynamic, popular TV actor from, oh gosh, the 60s until his death in the early 90s. And he became very praised because he was diagnosed at age like 53 or 54 with pancreatic cancer, terminal pancreatic cancer. And he went on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson to discuss what it was like to get a terminal diagnosis. And back then, that just wasn't done. And he gave several interviews. And People Magazine, the same People Magazine that's extolling Brittany Maynard for courage because she took a lethal overdose, did a big cover story on Michael Landon and said, oh, what courage, because he's hanging into the end. And that just shows you what a shift we have undergone, and most of it is because of this euthanasia activism and in the popular culture, not just the media, but TV show after TV show, showing that assisted suicide is good, assisted suicide is compassion. You had the story about the movie, the very famous, in fact, it won an Academy Award with Clint Eastwood about the boxer, the female boxer, who becomes paralyzed, and he kills her, and that was deemed the right thing to do, which was, again, he killed her not because she was terminally ill, but at her request because she was paralyzed after being sucker punched in this movie. It's just a nonstop barrage of a nihilism. Let me put it this way. If Brittany Maynard had gone into hospice, and still, which she could have done, had her bucket list, gone to the Grand Canyon and so forth, do you think that Compassion and Choices would have even blinked an eye about her situation? Do you think People Magazine would have cared? The situation would have been just as tragic. The broken heart factor, which we all feel for this, would have been just as profound, but it would not have pushed the agenda. And so she would not have been heard from. Nobody would know except her immediate family that she had brain cancer. BBC wouldn't have run stories on her. CNN wouldn't have cared less. But because she wanted to kill herself, even though there have been 700 other assisted suicides in Oregon, none of which made this kind of news, the media world went crazy. And let me tell you, a week from now, they won't remember her name.
You have said, and I'm glad you made the distinction when we were talking about before the break, between what Compassionate Choices in the media have done with Brittany Maynard and what Maynard herself was doing. You have said Maynard is not a nihilist. She is scared, and who can blame her? What are your thoughts there, Wesley?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people who have tried to attack anti-assisted suicide types as calling her cowardly and so forth, I don't know anybody who called her cowardly. You know, I don't know any of us would dare judge what might happen if we end up in a certain level of extremists. Nobody knows our limits. So the issue isn't that she wanted to kill herself. The issue is, what is the proper response of a society when one of our brothers or sisters gets in that situation? Is it, yes, of course you do, let me hold your coat, of course that's not a life worth living, of course you're going to die in agony and suffering, of course your worst fears are true, or do we help people get through that darkness? There have been studies, and again, none of this matters to the media, it's not emotional and all that, but there have been studies of people in Brittany Maynard's circumstance, or like my friend Bob, who died of Lou Gehrig's disease that I talked about earlier, who had, by the way, once been suicidal, and then, as he put it, I came out of the fog and was so glad to be alive. There are been studies of terminally ill people who got into a very dark spot, just saying, let me die, let me get it over with, I don't want to worry about the future, I'm scared about future suffering, who, because they were alive 6 weeks later, were very happy to be alive. But none of that matters because it's like there's this romantic attachment now to suicide. It's a very disturbing trend, and frankly, I think it's a sign of societal decadence and dissipation. I ended that piece in First Things with a quote from a fellow named Andrew Coyne, who is a Canadian journalist. And I'm trying to see if I can find it. I probably can't in time. But he basically said, and this was around a case that involved a young girl, a 12-year-old girl named Terry, there's been so many of these cases, but a 12-year-old girl with cerebral palsy, Tracy Latimer, and her father killed her, put her in the truck in his farm, turned on the motor, and killed her. And he was praised throughout, he went to jail for it, but he was praised throughout Canada as a loving father because he killed his daughter who had cerebral palsy. And in the reaction to this, and I found it, Andrew Coyne wrote this, and I think it applies in the Maynard case as well. This is from Andrew Coyne. A society that believes in nothing can offer no argument even against death. A culture that has lost its faith in life cannot comprehend why it should be endured. I think that really better than anything, and that was written almost 20 years ago, better than anything I have noted or seen in this work since 1993, captures the unfortunate moment in which we find ourselves on these issues.
Two quick final questions for you here, Wesley. How does it go, and you mentioned earlier in our conversation, how quickly it does go legally from choice to duty. How does it make that trek with about a minute and a half or so?
Well, once a society accepts the society, now that hasn't happened in America yet. People are still wary. Massachusetts had an opportunity in 2012 to legalize assisted suicide. Liberal Massachusetts said no. But we don't hear too much about that. Once you accept the premise that killing is an acceptable answer to human suffering, then pretty soon the idea of terminal illness leaves because that has nothing to do with it. People A lot of people suffer far more than terminally ill people and for far longer. And then eventually the idea of choice itself goes away. So you have, for example, in the Netherlands, what they call termination without request or consent, where doctors say, oh, this isn't a life worth living, and even if they haven't been asked, even though it violates the law, they will euthanize. It's happened in Belgium as well. So, and then you also end up with kind of a societal expectation, where eventually you end up, the idea of people, you know, suffering long-term and being a burden on their families becomes, well, that isn't how you should go. And you end up with, as those Western European countries are moving toward, an area where there is this almost an expectation that when you get into a difficult circumstance, that suicide is the proper way to go. It's a very dangerous dangerous path on which we are, and on our right is a deep, steep cliff, and I'm not sure where the bottom is once you start falling.
Finally, then, Wesley, how would you respond to someone, you know, who's listened to our conversation and they say, who are you to judge Brittany Maynard's suicide? It's her life. It's her choice. What's your response?
I haven't judged it, have I? What I've said is, what I will judge is how we respond when one of our beloved brothers or sisters goes into a suicidal desire. And I'm not going to be the one who plays a game of let's play pretend that it wasn't suicide. We need to have better response to people and let them know we want them and treasure them until they take their last breath. If my wife came to me and said, you know, I've got a terrible disease, I want suicide, I would say, absolutely not. You cannot take away from me, A, your presence, and B, my loving privilege to care for you for as long as you live. I mean, that's what society is saying to people and saying to families, you better support this because this is good. And families are being put in a very terrible spot here. Support your loved one's suicide or be deemed unloving and uncompassionate. Think about that.
Wesley Smith is a regular guest. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. He authors a column for National Review Online titled Human Exceptionalism, and he's author of several books, including Forced Exit Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. You'll find a link to Wesley's columns at our website, issuezetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to turn to some listener email. It piles up around here at Issues, Etc., and we like to, as often as we can, go through some of that listener email and respond. We'll do just that on the other side of the break. You don't have to live in the St. Louis area to take advantage of the great deals at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can purchase resources online, November 3rd through the 10th at cph.org. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, Etc. during the Concordia Publishing House's online warehouse sale, November 3rd through the 10th, cph.org. Shop online, cph.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think Blue, RP Blue, with over 50 local community locations for 37 years, RP Lumber.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues Etc. as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.